This is old Blois, and I want to tell you some more about this crisis that we was having down here. I say we was because it's just about over now, and I was awful worried about it for a while, but it straightened itself out. But it was kind of funny what happened, and that's the reason I'm telling you. But I told you about Brother Maynard coming down here and starting up this church that he called a Prayer House Tabernacle. And he had some money behind him. I don't know whether it was his money or some group, but anyway, he started up this Prayer House Tabernacle down here in this boarding house that I told you about earlier. And what he done was he paid the taxes, and then he put him a cross out front and a little old neon light on the top of it. It was blue, and it twinkled, you know, blinked, and he was real proud of it. And you know what he done, and it was amazing to me, but he started up this church, and he got everybody, or practical everybody, that didn't have nothing to do with church, he got them in his church. And he called them disciples for the Lord, and he set it up kind of like a Salvation Army church, and he had, of course, he was the major, you see, and he had lieutenants and captains and sergeants and privates in his army, and he had two armies. Actual, the grown people, they was his arm of the tabernacle is what he called them, and his children's army, he organized them into an army, and he called them crusaders for the Lord. And so he's what he advertised on the radio, and he got him a regular radio show. So like I say, he had some money behind him somewhere. But he started up his show, and he said he was going to do what he called a multi-pronged attack on the devil, and he was going to rout him out, is what he said. And I can remember all that stuff because I heard that on the radio over and over again. And, of course, he said a lot of stuff, but that was some of the stuff he said. And so what he done, see, he was mad at me because I told him I didn't go to church. And so he called me an arm of Satan. Well, I don't know about that, but I don't go to church. Now, I do have a religion, but I try to do what I think is right, but I just don't like to go to church. Well, he sent them little kids down here, that his, what he called the crusaders, and they come down here with signs, and the sign said, "Don't buy no milk from the arm of Satan," is what it said. And, see, I didn't pay no attention to him, but it made Emily just as mad as it could. You know, Emily's my girl, and it made her mad, but I didn't pay no attention to him. And I got to thinking about how I would feel if I was in their place. And that's what I learned from a man a long time ago that I worked for, and he said, try to put yourself in the other man's place and try to think how he is thinking. And so I done that, and I got to studying, and I said, you know, it's awful hot out there where them little kids is marching. So I told Emily, I said, Emily, if you want to do something about this, I said, go in there and bake up a batch of cookies. I said, make some of them chocolate chip cookies. Well, Emily is a good cook because she learned from old Flossie Butts. And she learned Emily to cook. And Emily is a good cook, if I do say so myself. She didn't want to do it at first. And she said, you going to feed them cookies? And I said, Emily, just go in there and make up some cookies if you don't mind. And I said, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to learn you something that'll do you some good. So she done it. She went in there and made up a batch of them chocolate chip cookies. And all the time it was getting hotter out there in the road where them kids was a marching. About 2 o'clock, I brought a big old plate of them cookies out there on the porch, and I had a whole bunch of milk, cold, ice cold milk. So I announced, I said, milk and cookies for anybody that wants it. Well, they all come toward the gate, and I said, now, the only drawback, the only string is that you got to leave them signs out there in the road. And so they laid them down, and I said, now, I mean, lay them down permanent. Just lay them right there and leave them there, and you can come in here and have all the milk and cookies that you want. Well, they agreed to that, and they come in that gate. They was hot. I mean, you know, I felt sorry for them, really. And they come in there and got them cookies and drunk up that milk, and they went on home, and I ain't seen nothing of none of them. Now, there was one boy that didn't come in. He stayed out in the road, and he marched up and down with his sign, but he was by himself. And the rest of them come in, and finally he just slinked on off. I didn't see when he left, but I noticed that he was gone, and he ain't been back neither. He was what they called the lieutenant in that army, and he hadn't come back, and I ain't seen no more of them. And so that was his first prong. He was gonna rout out the arm of Satan. I said, you see, Emily, I said, you don't have to raise Cain with people to get them to do what you want them to do. I said, there is other ways of doing it, and what you've got to do is use your head. The reason that I'm telling you this is because when old Brother Maynard first got started down here, well, the people wanted to run him out of the country. And the sheriff, they had a meeting on it. And the sheriff come into the meeting and he said, no. He said, we ain't going to have nothing like that down here. He said, we ain't going to be no vigilante committee, he said. He said, we're going to do things according to the law. And he said, you can't run that man out. You might want to. But he said, you ain't going to do it because I ain't going to let you do it. He said, if as long as he ain't breaking the law, then he can stay down there. Well, anyway, that was his first prong of his attack. And the next thing that he done was he sent his kids up there to the schoolhouse. And they had this song that they sung about I can't remember the words to it. It went something like the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I'll stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Now, I think that them was the words. I'm not for sure about that, but it was something like that. Well, they started singing that up there at school, and they... One time they commenced to singing it in the classroom. They wanted to have a time when they could sing their song. And the principal told them, no, they wasn't going to do that. He said, you can't sing that song. You can sing it out on the playground if you want to, at recess, but you ain't going to sing it in this school. And so he stopped. He put a stop to that right quick. But the next thing they done was that they've got this after-school recreation, you know, for all the people, the parents that work and don't have no place for the kids to go. Well, see, the kids can stay up there after school in this recreation, and they can stay there until their parents are home, and then they can go on home. And so they play cards up there, you know, and checkers and dominoes and all kinds of stuff. You know, they got music up there, and they've got old Sally Johnson. She is the one that takes care of them after school that way, and she keeps up with all of the checkers and the games. They've got all kinds of board games. They got one game they call Sorry, and they got a bunch of games. I don't know all of them, but anyway, she started noticing her stuff disappearing, and you know, the checkers and cards and stuff started disappearing, and she didn't know what was happening. And pretty soon, there wasn't a game left up there. They'd all been carried off. And them kids took them down there to the tabernacle, and they destroyed them games. And they got to bragging about it, and the principal heard about it, and he called them in. And they told him what they had done. They told him Brother Maynard had told them that they had a duty to destroy all them games, all them tools of the devil. And so that's what they had done. And the principal gave them all punishment, you know, and said they knowed better than to do that. And so she gave them detention, and they went down there and arrested that Brother Maynard. And of course, he bailed out of jail. They didn't keep him in jail. The sheriff just told him, said, you stirring these kids up, and said, that's private property. You ain't got no business doing that. Well, the first thing I knowed, the old Brother Maynard had filed suit in the court saying that they was depriving him of his First Amendment rights. Now, them, that's awful big words, and I didn't know what that was, but what it means is that they was not letting him practice his religion the way he wanted to. And the judge listened to him for about 5 minutes. And he whammed down that gavel and he said, case dismissed. And he gave him a lecture and he said, Brother Maynard, you got a right to practice your religion. But if you're teaching other people to break the law, he said, you can't do that. And he said, if you keep it up, he said, I'm going to fine you $100 a day for every day that you teach that kind of stuff. And he said, I'm going to hold you responsible for the moral behavior of the kids that's under your direction, he said. And he said, you can't do that. And he said, I'm going to see to it, I'm going to hold your feet to the fire. Well, Brother Maynard, see, he didn't like that, but he didn't want to pay $100 a day. And so he quit that too. And, you know, gradual, the people started leaving his church. They realized that he didn't, you know, that he was teaching some bad stuff, and they didn't go to his church no more, but he still had one more ace up his sleeve. So he decided that he was going to close up Carl's place. And so he sent a group of the adults down there, and some of them people was people that I had seen up there at Carl's at different times. You know, I'd seen them up there. But they come out in front of the Carl's with their signs saying, close down this den of iniquity. And that's what they said. And they had this chant that they was doing, and they started hollering, Carl, come out, Carl. Carl, come out, Carl. And they marched up and down the road for a while, and then nobody paid no attention to them. But directly, they come on to his property. They come inside the gate, and you know, Carl keeps that dog tied up in a pen, in a kennel, when the place is open down there. So they didn't, the dog was barking at him, but they knowed he couldn't get out. And so they come inside the gate, and they was hollering, Carl, come out, Carl. Well, directly, sure enough, Carl did come out. And I wasn't up there for none of this. Now, I got the story from Houston Ford, because he was telling me about it, and I was asking him, I said, Houston, I understand y'all had a little excitement up here, and he told me the whole story. So I'm just repeating what Houston Ford told me. But he said that Carl went out there, and the first thing he done was he walked up and down the line, and he got to looking them other people in the eye, and every time he did, they couldn't look him in the eye, you know, they'd look down. And finally he said, why don't you folks go on home and get away from here? He said it real quiet. He said, I want y'all to get out of here and go on home. And directly, some of them turned around and they started off, and everybody except old Brother Maynard slunk away, you see. And they knowed what Carl would do to them if they didn't. And so they just left Brother Maynard standing there, and they walked on off and went on down the road and went on home, I reckon. But I'll say this much for Brother Maynard. He was a brave man, and he stood there, and he looked at Carl, and Carl looked at him for about 30 seconds. And he said, Brother Maynard, he said, I'm giving you just exactly a minute to get on away from here and take your religion elsewhere. He said, you own my property. And he said, I'm going to tolerate it for one more minute, and that's all. Well, Brother Maynard started talking, and he was telling him about, I don't know what he was saying, about how he was leading a life of sin, and he was paving a road to hell and different stuff, and Carl didn't say a word. He just let him talk, and Brother Maynard talked for a minute. Just well, like I say, old Carl, you know, told Brother Maynard just real quiet. He said, "You've got just exactly 1 minute to stay here. I'm gonna tolerate it for 1 minute." And so, old Brother Maynard, he commenced preaching that Carl, and he told him that he was a limb of Satan, and that he was living a life of sin, and he was paving the road to hell. And he talked to him there for one solid minute, and old Carl was looking at his watch, and when a minute passed, he reached down and took a hold of Brother Maynard and picked him up and carried him over to that water barrel in front of the store, you know, where they catch rainwater, and he dipped him down there in that water barrel and pulled him out. And Brother Maynard was sputtering, and he started preaching again, and Brother Carl ducked him down in there again, and he held him under a little bit that time and pulled him out, and he said, "Have you got anything else to say?" And Brother Maynard, you know, shook his head, and so Carl set him on the ground, and Brother Maynard walked on off, and he ain't been down there since. He's lost all of his church members now, and I kind of feel sorry for him, because I go by there sometimes, and I see him standing out there and on the doorstep, and ain't nobody there, and don't nobody go to his church no more. I always speak to him, but he don't speak back. And anyway, his case come up last week, and the only defense that he had, because, you know, I told you that he had talked them kids into stealing all of them games out of that recreation room, and they'd carried them down there, and he had destroyed them. And so his only defense was, he said, well, he would give them $20, but he said, didn't nobody know how many games that they was, and they didn't have no record of the games, so they couldn't really prosecute him because they didn't know what he had destroyed. Well, of course, he had made a mistake there, and he didn't know it. But see, old Sally Johnson, I mean, she is the most organized person that you have ever seen. And so she had careful records of everything that had been bought for that recreation room. And every time something got lost, she had made a note of it. And every time something was replaced, well, she had made a note for that. So she had a complete record of how many decks of cards had been destroyed, and how many checkerboards, and how many sets of checkers, and how many games. She had the whole thing recorded. And the judge looked at it, and he said, this is the most organized information that has ever been brung into this courtroom. And so he asked her, did she have a figure on the amount? And she said, well, she said she did. And she showed him a total, because she knowed the price of all them things. And she had added it up, and she knowed just exactly to the penny what was owed. And so the judge fined Brother Maynard that much money. And then another thing he done was he give him punitive. He gave him a fine of $50 as a punitive fine. You know, that means that he was punishing him for his indiscretion is what he called it. And so he gave him a punitive fine. And so that costed that man, I don't know how much stuff that he had destroyed. But anyway, he had to pay it all back, every bit of it, plus that $50. And so he ain't down here no more. He has moved out. And after he moved out of the place, we all went down there to look, and we seen them uniforms. He had a whole bunch of them uniforms. See, I didn't tell you that, but when them people, them kids joined his army, well, see, he give them uniforms, and they was, it was dresses for the girls, and these old things like smocks, painter smocks for the boys, and they had these sequins in them. You know, they was sparkly, and that's how he was able to, you know, get so many members of his army, because them kids liked them sparkly sequins that he had on his, on them uniforms, them dresses, and them smocks. And like I say, see, somebody was giving him some money. He was some kind of probably right-wing organization was giving him money and sponsoring him. And that's how he was able to get all them people in his army. But anyway, he had left all them uniforms down there. Because when them kids had quit the church, well, they had left them uniforms on the doorstep. And so he had left them there when he moved out, and they was down there, and some of them, you know, started wearing them, but they told them they ought not to do that. They said that was, in a way, it was sacrilegious, because they was making fun of his religion, and so they don't do it no more. And I don't know what they're going to do with them uniforms, but they're back down there now. And we're gonna do something about that building. I don't know what just yet, but we're having a meeting on it next week. And so I'll tell you in the next podcast what we have decided to do about it, but we're not going to let that building fall into the wrong hands again. And somebody said, you know, they said, well, that building, technical, belongs to Brother Maynard, because he paid the taxes on it. And so the judge, he said that, no, Brother Maynard didn't own it no more, because he had used it for, I can't remember his word. You know, that's a educated judge. But anyway, he said that he had misused the property, so the property was going back to the county. But he said, the judge told us, he said, what you might want to think about doing is fixing, you know, taking joint ownership of the building. He said that wouldn't cost y'all much. And so we're having a meeting on it next week, and we're going to think about what we're going to do with it. We're going to make sure that it don't fall into the wrong hands again. And so as soon as we have that meeting, I'm going to let you know, what what we decide to do, but that'll be in the next podcast.